This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The relationship between anchoring and value perception. Why the first number spoken in a negotiation reshapes everything that follows. In short, anchoring and value perception are inseparable in negotiation. The first number spoken does not just open the bidding, it rewires both parties' sense of what is reasonable, fair, and possible. Set the anchor deliberately, or spend the rest of the conversation measuring your position against someone else's number. Definition: anchoring and value is the negotiation dynamic in which the first specific number introduced becomes a psychological reference point that shapes how both sides judge every subsequent offer, concession, and outcome, often overriding any objective assessment of what something is truly worth. There is a moment in every negotiation when value becomes real. Not when the deal closes. Not when the lawyers sign off. The moment value becomes real is when the first number is spoken aloud. I've watched this happen in boardrooms, on factory floors, in car dealerships, and across kitchen tables. That first number does something immediate and lasting to the conversation. It does not just open the negotiation. It sets the terms by which every number that follows will be judged. That is the relationship between anchoring and value perception, and most people never see it clearly enough to use it well or defend against it. Why your brain uses anchors to decide what things are worth. The mind is not a calculator. It does not assess value in isolation. It assesses value by comparison, and in a negotiation, the anchor becomes the comparison point before any other information gets a fair hearing. Here is the truth of it. Humans are not built to evaluate a number in the abstract. When someone asks you whether a price is fair, your brain immediately reaches for a reference point. In everyday life, that reference point comes from experience, from memory, from what you paid last time. In a negotiation, the person who speaks first hands you a reference point ready-made. Your brain accepts it instinctively. Even when you know it is strategic, the pull of an anchor is not about gullibility. It is about how the mind processes relative judgment. Once a number is in the room, every other number gets evaluated as a distance from that number, not as a standalone assessment of worth. A counteroffer of 80,000 feels very different depending on whether the anchor was 120,000 or 60,000. The underlying value of what is being discussed has not changed. Only the reference point has changed. This is why anchoring does not just influence the negotiation. It reshapes the value perception of everyone in the room, including the person who set the anchor. The mechanism that makes anchoring so persistent. The deeper you look at how anchoring shapes value perception, the more you realize it operates on two levels simultaneously. The first is conscious. You hear a number, you note it, you respond to it. The second is less visible. The anchor changes where your mind goes looking for a fair outcome. Think of it as a gravitational field. Once an anchor is placed, the negotiation does not move freely across the full range of possible outcomes. It moves in relation to that anchor. Concessions feel more generous when measured against an aggressive opening. Agreements feel like victories when they land above the anchor, even if they sit well below where you should have aimed. The anchor distorts the landscape of what feels reasonable, and the distortion is felt by both sides. I have seen experienced procurement managers accept final terms that would have horrified them if they had been offered first, because the anchor set the opening so far out that the eventual compromise felt like a genuine win. It was not a win. It was a well-set trap. The preparation for that outcome began the moment the first number was spoken. There is a second layer here that matters. Specificity strengthens an anchor considerably. A precise number, say 147,500 rather than 150,000, signals preparation. It signals that you have done the work and that your number is not arbitrary. When the other side senses calculation behind an anchor, they are less willing to dismiss it, and the psychological pull increases. Vague round numbers invite more aggressive counters. Precise numbers command more respect, even when both parties know their opening position is ambitious. For an approach to high-stakes communication that connects to this kind of deliberate preparation, the master method for high-stakes tension conversations offers a solid framework for entering difficult conversations with genuine readiness. What this looks like when the anchor is set well, and when it is not. Let me give you two scenarios drawn from real situations I have observed over the years. A consultant enters a conversation about a contract renewal. Her preparation tells her the fair market range sits between 80,000 and 110,000. She opens at 128,000, with clear reasoning attached, a breakdown of deliverables, expanded scope, documented results from the previous year. The client counters at 90,000. She moves to 115,000. They settle at 107,000. Both parties feel the outcome was hard won. The consultant ended up above the midpoint of her realistic range because her anchor restructured with a client's mind went looking for fairness. Now the same scenario with no anchor set. The consultant says, I want to discuss the renewal. What were you thinking? The client offers 75,000. The consultant has just accepted the other side's anchor without realizing it. Every move she makes from that point is measured against 75,000, not against her own assessment of value. She fights hard and lands at 92,000. She feels she did well. She did not. She lost 15,000 in the moment. She failed to set her own reference point. The difference between these two outcomes was not skill in argument. It was the decision about who spoke first and what they said. This connects directly to how advanced persuasion techniques in high-stakes professional messaging can set a frame before a negotiation even begins, shaping the other party's expectations before you ever sit down together. Why skilled negotiators still fall for the wrong anchor. Here is something I have never fully shaken. Even people who know about anchoring get pulled by it. Awareness reduces the effect, but does not remove it. Once a number exists in the conversation, it exists. You cannot unhear it. The most common failure I see in otherwise capable negotiators is what I would call silent acceptance. The other side opens with an anchor. The negotiator does not challenge it, does not replace it, and does not pause to reframe the conversation. They simply counter. And the moment they counter, they have accepted the anchor as the reference point. The counter is now being judged as a distance from the other side's number, not as an independent statement of value. The second failure is anchoring too timidly. Some negotiators understand they should open first, but they open close to where they want to end up. This leaves no room for movement and no gravitational pull. A well-set anchor needs to be ambitious, not absurd, not disconnected from reality, but genuinely ambitious. An anchor that is too close to your target position gives the other side nowhere to take credit for pushing you toward. A deal where neither side feels they moved rarely feels satisfying to either party. Defending against an aggressive anchor requires you to name it without accepting it. Something like, I hear where you have opened, but that number is not where our conversation starts. Then you place your own anchor before you discuss any terms. You are not countering their number. You are replacing the reference point entirely. Techniques for staying grounded during tense workplace conversations are directly useful here, because the discomfort of challenging an anchor in the moment is real, and your composure determines whether you follow through. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblackthorne.com. Now, back to their article. How anchoring intersects with the language of fairness. One of the subtler consequences of anchoring is what it does to the word fair. In my experience, fairness in a negotiation is almost always defined relative to where the anchor sits, not relative to any external standard of value. When both sides reach a settlement that lands near the midpoint between two anchors, both tend to feel the outcome was fair. This sense of fairness is entirely a product of where the anchors were placed, not of whether the midpoint actually reflects the item's worth. A seller who opened high and a buyer who opened low will both feel virtuous about landing in the middle, even if that middle bears no relationship to market value. This insight has a practical edge to it. When you set the anchor, you are not just influencing the eventual number. You are influencing what the other party will call a fair outcome. That is a significant advantage. It also means that when you frame your anchor, it helps to attach language that positions it as reasonable, researched, and deserving of serious consideration. A number without a story is just a number. A number with a rationale, even a brief one, carries far more weight and is much harder to dismiss. The way you deliver that framing connects to skills in giving feedback with nuance and psychological precision, because both situations require you to say something difficult with enough confidence and clarity that the other person takes it seriously rather than reacts against it. Putting the anchor to work. Three principles worth carrying. After 6 decades of watching negotiations succeed and fail, the relationship between anchoring and value perception comes down to a handful of principles that hold across every situation I have seen. Speak first when you have prepared. If you know your range, your rationale, and your walkaway point, set the anchor. The only reason to let the other side open first is if you genuinely need information before you can place a sensible number. In most negotiations, you have done enough preparation to go first. Do it. Make your anchor specific and grounded. A precise number with a brief explanation is worth far more than a round number with none. The explanation does not need to be long. It needs to exist. Based on the scope, the timeline, and the results we delivered last year, we are opening at 147,500 is a complete and credible anchor. It signals confidence and preparation in equal measure. Challenge anchors you did not set before you counter. If the other side opens first, your first job is not to respond to their number. Your first job is to replace their reference point with your own. Name the anchor, decline it as a starting point, and introduce your frame before any counter is offered. This takes courage in the moment. The pull to simply respond to what you have been given is strong. Resist it. If the pushback feels intense and the conversation becomes difficult, the core framework for managing defensive reactions gives you a method for staying composed when the other side challenges your position, and the value method for advocating with resistant counterparts can help when the other side refuses to engage with your framing at all. What you now know that most negotiators do not. Most people treat anchoring as a tactic, a trick you use to open high and see what happens. What it actually is a mechanism that governs how value is perceived for the entire duration of a negotiation. The first number spoken does not just begin the conversation. It builds the room in which the conversation takes place. When you understand that fully, the preparation changes. You stop thinking only about what you want to end up with, and you start thinking about where you need the conversation to begin. You stop asking what should I counter with, and start asking have I set the reference point, or am I working inside someone else's? The relationship between anchoring and value is not just about getting a better number. It is about earning the right to define what a good number looks like in the first place. That is where the real work of preparation happens, long before anyone sits down at the table. And once you see it clearly, the deal method for resolving disagreements offers a complementary lens for those moments when framing alone is not enough, and you need a structured path to a genuine impasse. Frequently asked questions. What is anchoring and value perception in negotiation? Anchoring and value perception describes how the first number introduced in a negotiation becomes a reference point that distorts both sides' sense of what is fair. Every offer, counteroffer, and concession is then judged relative to that anchor, not to any objective standard of worth. How does an anchor affect what someone thinks something is worth? An anchor reframes the comparison zone. Instead of asking what something is genuinely worth, the mind asks how far this number is from the anchor. That shift makes the anchor the invisible standard of value, even when both parties know the opening number was aggressive or arbitrary. Can anchoring and value perception work against you in a negotiation? Yes. If you fail to set the anchor, the other side sets it for you, and you spend the rest of the conversation measuring your position against their number. The pull of an anchor is strong enough to distort even experienced negotiators' sense of a fair outcome. How do you set a strong anchor in a negotiation? Open with a specific, confident number that sits at the ambitious, but defensible edge of your realistic range. Specificity matters. A precise number signals that you have done your preparation. Vague round numbers invite more aggressive counters and signal that your position has room to move. How do you defend against someone else's anchor in a negotiation? Name it and replace it. Acknowledge the opening number without treating it as a reference point. Then introduce your own anchor before making any counter. The worst response is to accept the anchor silently and negotiate down from it, which hands the other side full control of the value frame. Does anchoring and value perception work even when people know about it? Yes, and that is what makes it so powerful. Awareness of the mechanism reduces its effect somewhat, but it does not eliminate it. The cognitive pull of a stated number is strong enough to influence judgment even in people who fully understand how anchoring works. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.